The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. In Texas.
Sorry, I was just doing breath work, meditating, if you will, just to prepare, because we are back with another episode of Unhinged with Chris Clemens. I am your host, Chris Clemens. Now, I don't know if we will be able to post the literal part of that prompted the breath work. But hey, we're always keeping things fresh here. Now, I am very excited for today's episode because it kind of transformed into what it is before my very eyes. I was planning like a whole separate episode. And then I went to go check the Unhinged with Chris Clemens email account. And y'all really pulled through and delivered. I'll get to that in a little bit, but I'm excited because today we are doing an after show, and oh my God, guys, the after show is going to be funny. It involves y'all, so buckle up, stay tuned, patreon.com/Chris Clemens. Guys, we hit 21,000 subscribers on this YouTube channel. I know having like millions of followers on some platforms, that seems really pathetic for me to be excited, but starting the Unhinged YouTube channel from scratch after doing like 2 years of this podcast was really something so scary and like in a really, like, I don't mean it so deeply, but like vulnerable. I am definitely, it's no secret, in a lull in my career. I'm sort of transitioning to stand up and all of these other things. And I just don't have like the online presence I once did. And I feel really, I've gotten to a point where I feel fine about it. It used to really kind of get at me, but I'm really grateful for what my career even now allows me. And I know that it's not the end of the road. Like, there's always another day to start your career or restart your career or switch careers. I mean, there's just so much time that I feel fine. I want to enjoy life. I have spent the last 11 and a half years fucking grinding, not 11 and a half, like 11 and a quarter years grinding to provide a life. I have a fucking house in Delaware and land. I have an apartment in New York. I'm at a place where I want to enjoy where I'm at, because if you're not enjoying the shit you work for, then what are you doing it for, you know? Like, I used to want to just work. Rihanna, don't sue me, please. But I just wanted money and to provide for everyone, and I still want those things. But I want to look around and, like, smile. And why am I going to cry? Okay, I went off Lexapro fucking cold turkey. And anybody who's done that, I just heard you go, oh, Chris, no, or oh, my God. Yeah, my God. It's been an interesting journey with a capital J. Going off Lexapro raw dog, I've done before, and I don't remember this. But, and I know people are probably going to ask, why are you off Lexapro? Now, I have taken Lexapro before, and it always gets to a point where the Lexapro side effects kick in, where it's like the depression is even stronger and the suicidal thoughts are even louder. And I just constantly, I don't know, it's weird when you remember these like infrequent patterns that happen and you're like, oh my God, I know exactly what to do right now. And I mean, I just, my conclusion was stop Lexapro, not get off Lexapro responsibly. And now I'm just on Wellbutrin, and I feel just, guys, like, so happy. But the thing with Lexapro is it doesn't allow you to feel anything. Like, and I just have been feeling so many emotions. I have been crying constantly. Two of my best friends, Katya and Morgan, worked extensively on Ariana Grande's Eternal Sunshine album cover, artwork, rollout, etc. And I like went into Target and got the vinyl, which, by the way, it's a fucking phenomenal album. I went into Target, got the album, brought it in my car, and just ugly sobbed. Of course, it's on the internet, because if you ugly sob in your car and you don't post it to the internet, did it really happen? Yeah, it did, but now everybody's also watched it. So anyways, this is a whole lot to just say. I'm really excited that we hit 21K, and I'm so excited that you guys loved the Curtis episode. I'm definitely gearing up to get more guests. Just not even like I'm gearing up for it. Like I have going to have guests this month. It's just, I really enjoy those episodes, but then I love this like weird, I was going to say weird basement time, but you know what? Like that's honestly what the fucking name of this podcast should be called. Weird basement time. Like I just love these like solo episodes, and in a weird fucking parasocial way, it feels like I'm hanging out with people. Granted, the only person I'm hanging out with is like my ever-increasing electricity bill, because this studio has like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh my God, 7 lights. Shut up, quiet on set. Who did that?
Me, Your Honor. It was me.
I feel very excited about this podcast, and I appreciate and love just everybody really, really like, it's weird that when usually when I like really hit a stride with my stuff, I just said really like 50 times, you can delete your comment. But when I say really, no, no, when I get really into the groove of like certain projects, I feel like nobody ever really loves it or has the response that I feel like or resonate with. But this new like wave of the podcast of, I don't know what changed. I really don't. But I'm just like, let's do this. Like it just clicked in my brain one day. And it's weird because you guys are also having the same reaction and noticing. And it just is really cool. So thank you. Also, if you're new here and haven't subscribed and you want to after this fucking ramble of a monologue, be sure to subscribe to Unhinged with Chris Clemens wherever you get your podcasts. And like I said, we have video episodes up on youtube.com/@unhinged already. Now, this week's episode, you guys, like I mentioned, had something totally else planned. And then some of our Unhinged citizens submitted a lot of emails based off of last week's prompt, which was like, what's something at your job that you've learned that would like terrify or horrify the public if they knew? And I was going to pull a few of them, and I literally couldn't stop going down the rabbit hole. Like I've never opened this many emails. So I was like, you know what? We're going to make it a whole episode and really learn the good, the bad, and I mean, exclusively the ugly of all these different things. It's just, one, it was very interesting to see who my listeners are. Like some of y'all were like, oh, I work in an airbag making production line. I'm like, what? And you listen to me? Oh my God. That's about to be my new like marketing slogan. Even geniuses listen to Unhinged. Wait, that's, huh? Okay, Chris, you're really onto something. Anyways, I was just so taken away with these stories that I literally pulled like, I think 15 of them, because I just was, I feel like I learned a lot. I feel like I now fear a lot more. Now, before we get into these emails, I do want to give you guys your homework for next week. Be sure to email unhingedwithchrisclemens@gmail.com with your hottest hometown gossip. I obviously live in Delaware and bought a house here and I'm from here. And coming back, I forgot just how juicy that little toxic gossip train really is. Oh my God. I like just, oh, it's so good. So I know you guys have the fucking gossip. So email it in unhingedwithchrisclemens@gmail.com. And guys, let's reveal some horrifying secrets from work. Let's go. Also, maybe a trigger warning. I don't remember all of them fully. I think they're all pretty, you know, digestible. It's just not digestible when you think about yourself in the situation. Anyways, the first one we have is titled Horrific Job BTS. I used to work in dentistry, and my behind the scenes job horror story is in regards to root canal treatment. Parentheses, scary. No, for sure. Thank you, though, for the reminder. Okay. For the record, having a root canal doesn't hurt. It feels no different to having a filling, but the process is much longer and much more expensive. The info y'all probably would gag over is that we actually use bleach to kill off the nerve inside of the tooth. Okay, this one might be the most squeamish one. I read this and I was like, okay, we do need to read this and tell the people. But the way that my every muscle in my body, I found new ones, I had no idea were there, was tense. Oh my God, I was just sitting there clenched, blood rushing through my veins, eyes almost popping out of my head. But I survived. Okay. This one might be the most squeamish, I guess I should say. The info y'all would probably gag over is that we actually use bleach to kill off the nerve inside of the tooth. Dentists will always say that it's a special medication, but girl, it's bleach. It's straight up fucking bleach. And then they use these tiny little metal stick things called K-files with little barbed bits on to shove into the tooth, dig around, and pull out the nerve. I'm gonna... Sorry. Usually it takes a few goes before it's completely out. With front teeth, sometimes you can pull out the nerve in one stringy piece. Kind of looks like a really toughly chewed gum, but super, super tiny. Anyway, I hope you're not squeamish. Anyway, I am. Guys, I... Honestly, this person painted such a picture that I'm not even horrified about the bleach. Like, I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. Next time, pour a little down my throat. I'm like about to vomit at the idea that people are just fucking going fishing for dead gums in your mouth that they killed with bleach. Yeah, literally the bleach is the least of the problem here. Like, you're telling me they're playing go fish in my teeth? No, thank you. Ugh, horrified. And having just been at the dentist getting a cavity filled, I'm like, what did y'all do to me there? What did you stick in me? All right, the second one we have is called What the Public Would Be Horrified to Know, Hotel Edition. And this one, as someone who stays in a lot of hotels, this one didn't sit right with me. Although I think you guys will be surprised with how much you know a lot of this, but just actively choose to forget. So... I am a sales manager at a hotel, but I used to work the front desk. What a lot of people do not know is that the majority of hotels have rodent problems, specifically mice. No matter how much pest control comes in, there will always be mice and sometimes rats. The same with the majority of restaurants and bars. Also, not that it is common practice or happens often, but if they are really busy, many housekeepers will leave sheets on the bed and towels if they do not appear to be used. Further, at bigger chain hotels, the receptionist should never tell you your room number out loud in case there are any stalkers, creeps, etc. around. They are only supposed to say your floor number and or point to the number on the envelope. On the other hand, hotel personnel have the right to enter the room even if you're in there if they suspect smoking, suspicious activity, breaking any rules, etc. Lastly, not that it is something that would horrify anyone, but if you ever break something in the room, overflow the tub, or do any damage, please tell the front desk. They will appreciate being told and may even waive the damage fee if the damage is not too serious. If you leave without saying anything, you will always be charged no matter how much you try to fight it. Also, I love that the last part of this is just the hotel sales manager being like, if you break anything or overflow the tub, please tell me. I mean, please tell the front desk. They are nice people and... they might even waive the fee. Now, I will say that wasn't the only hotel email we received. And like, this is exactly the kind of niche I was looking for, was like fast food, like common things that we all encounter. Like, what is the gross stuff? But y'all surprised me with the way you approach this and I kind of love it. Anyways, another email on the topic of hotels said, working at a hotel is disgusting. And then the email read, I worked at a hotel for a year and a half, and it was horrifying. I used to love to travel, but it has been completely ruined for me because of how most hotels operate and clean. I only stay with family members or friends now, never hotels if I can avoid it. The worst thing I learned there was that the comforters on hotel beds are rarely washed. In my time at the hotel, we only washed maybe 5 comforters. All of them were wet from bodily fluids. Oh, okay. Okay. If they were not wet or stained, we did not wash them. We did wash the sheets and the tan fuzzy blankets, but never the duvet. Basically, I am sending this email to warn people to always sleep between the fitted and flat sheets at a hotel and never just lay on the comforter without something separating you from it, because it is likely covered in years worth of sweat, skin cells, hair, or worse. I did know this about the duvets, which is literally why I sleep between the fitted sheet and the flat sheet. But like, guys, also to whoever stays in a hotel after me, you can thank me, because the guarantee I have of spilling something seeping through the comforter is so high, because I am exactly that in bed, eating my life away. I mean, every time I leave a hotel room, I try and pick up after myself, but it's like, yeah, there's Dorito dust all over the comforter. Like, it's not great, but listen, I'm not a perfect person. That was from a song called Hoobastank. Nope, that was from a band called Hoobastank. Anyways, I grew up, my mom loved that song. I hated it. It constantly played on our radio, WSTW. And to this day, Hoobastank, the reason. There you go. You're welcome, Hoobastank.
Hoobastank. Hoobastank.
All right. Anyways, moving on. The next email is subject lined, Work Horror Story, Brandy Melville Edition. Guys, I could do a whole Brandy Melville expose. Not because I worked there. I mean, you took one look at me and you're like, bitch. Nice try. No, I have friends, primarily one, who worked there. And maybe we'll get her on the podcast. Who even knows? Anyways, the email. I worked at Brandy Melville for 2 years from the ages of 16 to 18, parentheses, 4 years ago. There were a lot of things wrong with Brandy as a company, but the worst and most toxic thing I experienced was what we called store styles. Every single day when we come into work, we would have to get a picture taken of our chest, feet, and a full body pic, parentheses, 3 pics in all. The reasoning was to show off the employees' jewelry style, shoes, and full fit put together, but it was basically the worst and most dehumanizing part of my day, because we all knew the pictures were getting sent to corporate bosses who were all older, creepy men. There were no women in corporate receiving these emails. It was basically a body check every shift and a chance for corporate to fetishize their young women employees. Now, as employees, we were also instructed to take store styles of customers that came into the store to shop. One time, we got an email from corporate asking for pictures of only young girls wearing no makeup and simple clothes, parentheses, leggings. Right around this time, I quit, and I still think about it all the time. So many pictures of my whole body at such a young age are in a folder somewhere for creepy men to poke and prod at for, quote, style research. I advise all young ladies to always say no if someone in the store asks to take your pic. It's not as glamorous as it may seem. This is like just the fucking tip of the iceberg with Brandy Melville. Allegedly. I should say all of this is alleged. These are just random alleged that I got sent in. I remember my friend told me that Brandy would pay girls differently based off of their following. This was back in maybe 2016, allegedly. The way allegedly is just my favorite word. Like, what? Like, I say allegedly. I call everything allegedly. Anyways, allegedly. Yeah, they would, like, get paid based off of how many followers they had. And yeah, I knew about this store style shit. It's gross. And like, I just don't, like, yeah, their stuff is soft, but like, so is, I don't know, me after getting criticized by people. Next email we have, the subject line says, things I learned at Ticketmaster. And I'm just going to say, this is all alleged. Yeah, this whole episode is alleged. Do you even know? This is alleged. Allegedly, this is alleged. So, allegedly, back off. Things I learned at Ticketmaster. I just wanted to spill some facts that I learned while working for a concert venue in the box office that used to use Ticketmaster for their ticketing system. A, nothing is ever sold out completely. We have so many different type of holds on seats that while it looks like people got the good seats, in reality, the box office has those on hold for comps. B, on sold out shows, we have the amount of tickets that are set to be released and usually know when they will be released to the public. That is to say, if people were mean to me, I wouldn't sell them our release tickets. So be nice to venue staff. I mean, you should be nice to them anyway, but yeah, got your point. C, if you want a physical ticket as like a souvenir, head to the box office early and let them know you're having ticketing issues with your phone. If you ask them to print it out directly, they won't do it. But if you're having issues, the default solution is just to print the ticket. Oh my God, where was this info for Beyonce? Like, hello, the way I would die for a physical ticket. Oh. Oh my God, I'd have food too. I'd have food physical tickets. Yeah, I kind of always, I remember in my like Hillary Duff concert days that people would always be like, the box office will release tickets last day, like day of. And I remember thinking, huh? But then with TikTok and stuff, people have always come out and said that. So I knew that, but I didn't know about this physical ticket shit. Oh my God, hoarding me is like, where was this nugget of info? 10 years ago. Well, no, 10 years ago we had physical tickets, Chris. I hear it, Chris. Thank you, Chris. Okay, so the next email we have has the subject line, something I learned at my McDonald's job. Once again, allegedly. So this isn't something I learned at my job, but it was an accident that happened that I'm sure was illegal. Hook, line, and sinker. I am laser focused. I worked at a McDonald's back in like 2013. We had an issue with our plumbing and it ended up backing up and flooding the store. So instead of closing the store, fixing the problem, and then cleaning everything, they decide to just close the lobby and have us only work through the drive-thru. So I had to work in an inch of sewage water while serving food to people. They just tried to fix the problem while we were working. And y'all still have the audacity to act like minimum wage is enough for that shit. Literally. Bye. Oh my God. I have so much fucking respect. That I would have walked out on the spot and at least just gone to a different McDonald's. Fuck. I mean, that is so blood boiling. Anyways, there's a mini rant. The next email is from Starbucks barista secret. Hook, line, and sinker. I worked at Starbucks for 6 years, and if customers are over the top rude, they are without a doubt getting decaf, and they will never know because it tastes the same. No, thank you. I'm very aware. It especially sucks for Karen customers coming in every day ordering the same $8 drink, and a little do they know they are paying for decaf. Honestly, though, that's like, that feels fair. They're getting a product in return. Granted, the product is a little defunct and the person's still getting paid. Like, that really feels like, I don't know much about science, but that seems like mutualism. The way that my biology textbook just flashed in my eyes for that, like, that mutualism was in bold. Is that really a real thing? Or am I just really gaslighting myself into a frenzy? Mutualism. Mutualism describes the ecological interaction between two or more species where each species has a net benefit. I blow myself away sometimes. Like, call this a self-suck because I'm blowing me away. Okay. Don't call it that. Moving on. Guys, I am so sorry. Like, oh my God. So the next email I got was subject line, what I learned at my job in private school. I just got fired from my teacher's assistant job at a private school in retaliation for whistleblowing. Or so I assume, since they fired me the same day I talked to HR. Cute. But they refused to give me a reason. Ooh. A short list of things the public would be horrified to know. Ugh, you just know that this is about to pop off with how much anger there is at the beginning. Ooh, I'm obsessed. All right, the first one is we don't do lockdown drills because the drills themselves would scare the students, end quote. Keep in mind, we're in the top 8% of states with the most school shootings. Okay, yeah, I remember like lockdown drills and, oh my God, what would the front desk say? They would be like, oh, I think they literally just said intruder alert over the intercom. And oh my God, there truly was no scarier feeling. I cannot imagine in this day and age where that is actually something that's constantly happening. Yeah, that's terrifying. Oh my God, dude, people are like, I want kids. And I'm like, why? So they can go to school and die like that? Ugh, this, I can't go down this road. Next up, a teacher walked a, quote, lost tutor found on the playground with the younger group through a full classroom. The school doesn't employ tutors, end parentheses. Police weren't called. Neither staff nor parents were notified. No answers on did he have a camera? Was he armed? What did the police say? The building slash property is not secure. Residential doors and locks for the classroom that don't close or lock properly. The stranger got to the playground through a gap between the fence and a bush or the open gate. No one knows. Tuition is $15,000 a year. High school teachers with a degree in secondary education in one field are required to teach 6 to 8 subjects. This year, there is no math teacher, so everyone in high school math is fucked. When was the last time you took Algebra 2? You're just as good as any of us teaching that class to these students who are planning on going to college. That's crazy. Considering that private school tuition is so expensive, there should not be teachers with overlap subjects unless one of them is like foreign language because they're part that language, then sure, maybe. But huh? That's so insane. The principal makes the first order of business during our first staff meeting about bumping up grades in the system so they pass. Jesus Christ. Like, this is like where I start to retrospectively look and I'm like, okay, how much of my life has been a fucking sham? Huh? People just doing this? Ugh. Principal was notified multiple times by multiple teachers about gross cheating enough to be expelled by state standard. And staff are told we do things differently in private school. Parents called to conferences where behavior contracts are put in place and they are never drafted. I don't even know what that sentence fucking means. This caused two teachers to quit in the middle of the year. What I learned, private schools are an absolute goddamn racket and in no way guarantee a better education for your children. In fact, it's a greater gamble. If they're for profit, then their bottom line has a dollar sign in front of it. And it ain't dollar sign Johnny or dollar sign Susie Smith. Check your child's school because they could be in far greater danger than you realize. Schools are falling apart because administration is dropping the ball big time. Greed is at the root of it all, and our children, meaning our world as we know it, are the cost. Okay, so now that we're about halfway through this episode, wow, what a fucking depressing episode this is, Chris. I didn't really think of that. But okay, not all of them are that heavy. The next one we have was titled Movie Theater Work Secrets Revealed, and it goes as follows. I don't have anything groundbreaking here, but I worked in a movie theater in high school and can confirm that the popcorn butter is legit just warmed oil. We also make popcorn on the weekend, stored in trash bags, and then just fill the popcorn warmers with it during the week to pretend it was fresh. More than a few times did we find roaches in the bags, so we never eat movie theater popcorn unless you see their popping machine running. Okay. I'd like to circle back to, I don't have anything groundbreaking here. Someone cut the ribbon because ground was broken. What? You're telling me that I'm just nibbling on a jumbo bag of smart food that's stale and has the scent of roaches on it? And you're saying that this isn't groundbreaking? Bitch, my whole world just turned on the axis. I can't even think about this. You say, like, always make sure that the machine is running. Bitch, well, if it's running, you clearly are just shoving it in there, you nasty fuck. God. All right, well, if this doesn't make you vomit, this next one will. The title is Food Service Behind the Scenes. As someone who has been in food service and has seen behind the scenes, I kind of know where this is going. I have worked 7 jobs in the past 5 years, and most of them were in food service. Working in food service is a hellish experience as it is, but I have two stories in particular that I'd like to share. Story number one. I used to work as a server at a Mellow Mushroom. Okay, if that's a restaurant, what a cute little name. I need to go find me a Mellow Mushroom. In more than one way. One day, I was working an opening shift and I was scooping ice from the big-ass ice machine to put at the soda stations. I noticed something brown in the ice and so I scooped around to see what it was. Lo and behold, there was a fucking worm in the ice. You hear that, worm? Okay. For everybody who commented free worm, she's here. She's in studio. She ran around for like 4 hours in the backyard. So she is, for all intents and purposes, knocked out. Anyways, back to the story. Lo and behold, there was a fucking worm in the ice. I went to tell my manager to see what to do about it because how the fuck did a worm get in the ice? Now, when I told her, she just responded with, "Again? That's the second time this week." So apparently, having worms in our ice was a reoccurring occasion. I had no idea what they did with the worms. And quite frankly, I don't want to know. How many ice cubes with, I mean, worm contact have I consumed? Oh, God. It's all bad, guys. It's just all bad. Anyways, story number two. I worked at a Smoothie King, and in the summer, we would get a shit ton of fruit flies. I honestly don't know how none of the customers ever said anything to me because it was so obvious and so gross. They would just hover around all the ingredients, and even worse, our manager had us use a bug killer spray to try and get rid of the flies. And since the flies were congregating around the fruit and ingredients, that's where we would spray the bug killer. So yeah, we were basically spraying chemicals into our ingredients. Also, we would use expired ingredients a lot because a bunch of my coworkers just never checked the labels. Oh. I don't have anything to say. I don't know why I'm shocked by the human race at this point. It's all terrible. At all the food service jobs I've had, I've also noticed that a lot of my coworkers didn't wash their hands at times they definitely should have. I'm sure there's been other weird or nasty experiences, but my memory sucks. So this was the best I could think of. Nope. And that is enough. Thank you so much for those very vivid, very in detail accounts. Moving right along. The next one is a short and sweet little title just called Piss Water. I worked at an outlet store and had to clean the bathrooms during closing time. Every time I did, the floors were always covered in some kind of body fluid. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop you right there. What? Huh? What is this? A duvet in a hotel that's not getting washed except like 5 times in a year and a half? Anyways, I also had to mop the entire store with that same mop water. I also had to check the dressing rooms to make sure that they were clear, and there would be underwear and bathing suits that people tried on waiting for me to put back on the hanger. Moral of the story, always wash the clothes you buy from the store before putting it on, especially if that store has a dressing room. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Now this next one, I got multiple emails with pretty much the same info, and I was just shocked. I mean, I'm shocked and I have questions, quite frankly. It's titled, Rabies at Work. I feel like the following is something I've learned at work and would shock the general public. I work at a local animal shelter and I've learned a lot of awful and heavy things. A less heavy fact is that when a shelter slash vet gets a suspected rabies case or any disease that needs further testing, they only send the animal's head in a box to get tested. I couldn't look at any of our vet staff the same after learning this, but I guess it cuts down our shipping cost. Also, most animal shelters don't cremate the deceased, but rather have a big field where they bury them all. I hope this found the right reader that also finds this interesting and that I haven't traumatized you. So, hold up. And forgive me if this is just the stupidest fucking question. I don't really care. Is rabies not treatable? Like, why? Like, does a dog just immediately die from rabies? Rabies in dog. Can dogs survive rabies? Most of the time, rabies is a fatal disease for any infected dog. It is extremely uncommon for dogs to be able to be cured from rabies, although it has happened very rarely. Oh my God. So, how long till death? Like, the animal begins to show signs of the disease. The infected animal usually dies within 7 days of becoming sick. Okay, booger and worm. Your father is off Lexapro, which means tears probably will come. If you ever get rabies, I will kill myself. Oh my God. Okay, so I understand why the head is in the box. I'm like, well, you just went from rabies to decapitation, but okay. Yeah, that was one that I had gotten a lot. And I really, it didn't bring me any joy. It brought me no solace. And there hasn't been delight experienced in my body since. God, I mean, oh my God, what? Like, oh my God, what? We don't have a rabies cure? Sorry, I'm like going down the spiral of, okay, my dogs for sure have rabies now. This next one is titled, Something About My Job People Would Be Horrified to Know, Airbags. I work in a factory that produces airbags. I work on the inspection line where we quality check the bags before shipping them out. We have certain requirements the airbags have to meet, and if they don't, they get thrown away. Sometimes we just have a bad batch and none of the airbags are coming out good. If the higher-ups notice we are chucking a lot of bags, they come down and tell us to just pass the bags because we are behind schedule and or can't afford to throw any more away. Like, to quote me 10 minutes ago, it's all bad. All bad. It is 360 degrees. What? Bad. It's all bad. Anyways, the next one we have is titled College Admission Surprise, which I swear to God, if that isn't the name of Olivia Jade or like Lori Loughlin's autobiography, we have fucked up our entire existence as the human race. College Admission Surprise! Exclamation. That's iconic. Okay, anyways, back to the email. So I used to be a college admissions counselor, which means I read college applications and decided who got into the school that I worked for. I think the public would be surprised to know how impersonal those decisions can be. Obviously, every university has a different process, but at the school I work for, it was literally just checking boxes. You have a 3.0 GPA, you took 3 years of math, boom, you're in. Our university barely even looked at the essay. It was literally as simple as making sure you met certain requirements and then you'd be let in. Also, college admissions counselor positions are almost always entry-level jobs, so more often than not, the people holding these positions are 22-year-olds that are fresh out of college and in their first job. I don't think the parents we talked to understood that we were barely older than their high school kids whose futures were in our hands. Yeah, when you put it like that, babes, it doesn't read great. I started that job at 22 years old and was mistaken for a student constantly, and people were so intimidated by me learning I was the one who would be reviewing their application. Meanwhile, I'm a barely functioning adult who just graduated 2 months ago and has suddenly been given this position with a bunch of other kids in their 20s who have no clue what they're doing. With all that said, I do miss that job a lot. Working with teenagers is wild, but it was cool helping them to decide what they want to do with their lives. Aw, but also, you're telling me I wrote that college essay and put my whole, not only back, but also whole into it? Ugh, oh my God. I would love to find my college essay. I know it's like somewhere. I know I have it because like, I just know, okay? I just know. Moving on. This one is titled Moldy Hairbrushes. I used to work at a chain hair salon that only did blowouts and styling. OBS, not saying the name, but if you know, you know. I have one guess. It's that one with the yellow blow dryers. This is all alleged, but I'm just guessing. Anyways, after we used any brushes on clients, we had to disinfect them and let them dry before putting them back to be used again. So we had these certain brushes that were made out of soft wood, so they couldn't be soaked in the disinfectant like the other brushes. We had to spray them down, which I thought was pretty easy to remember. However, I found out that a lot of my coworkers didn't care and just let them soak like a regular brush. This didn't sound like a big deal until one of the managers found a bunch of mold on pretty much all of the wood brushes and like a good amount of it. Like the brushes were definitely used on clients. My favorite part is when the girls that caused the mold found out, they basically didn't care because they thought the hot air from the blow dryer would kill any mold. So they continued to use them on clients. So that still haunts me. Anyways, fuck that company because they had crazy expectations for stylists and did not care about the clients at all. What? A corporation? Not caring about their customers or employees? I am shocked. And second for most, gooped. Okay, that sentence we are titling, "The Engine Ran Out of Steam, Oil and Paper, 2024. All right, this is our last one. What I learned from my job, Baskin Robbins edition. This one's fucking insane. But like, really, once you've worked in the food industry, you kind of aren't really shocked by it. So get this. I was 16 years old and it was during COVID. It was my first real job and I didn't realize at the time how awful of a boss he was. He was a 65-year-old Mormon man who only hired, quote, pretty ladies, aka 16-year-old girls. I'd worked 10 hours and closed with one other 16-year-old in a sketchy part of town. The thing I didn't know was that you can pay health inspectors off. I started to realize that there were rats everywhere. And if one was caught by a trap, we would have to pick it up and throw it out. I asked my boss about it, and he said he kept hush money in an ice cream container in the back. Crazy shit. To quote me 10 minutes ago, and then also 20 minutes ago, and maybe even 25 minutes ago, it's all bad. It's all bad. Like, you know what the chunk in your chocolate chunk was? A rat. It was a fucking rat. Like, oh, you want mint chip? Sorry, we're out. We only have dead rat shit. Do you want a scoop? Like, ugh. I was not meant for this life. And I am ready to go. Aliens, I'm down. Just let me bring my family, my dogs, my friends, my car, and like some snacks, please. And then I'm good. Yeah. Anyways, that's gotta be the end of this show. I'm so sorry. But before we go, I wanted to read a comment from the Curtis Connor episode because it was sort of a fun little update to that episode. Now, if you haven't listened to the episode, the event of Canada getting Target and then also losing Target came up. And I didn't even know that that happened. I kind of thought Target was everywhere. I thought like kind of Target ran like 30% of this globe. Anyways, someone commented on that video and said, in college, we did a case study on why Target failed in Canada, and it's because they couldn't nail down their product mix and supply chain. They inaccurately predicted that Canadians would be willing to pay more for products than Americans, and that we would be happier with a different product selection. Canadians have been to Targets before, and they expected to be able to buy the same products as American friends and influencers. They also didn't set up their supply chain in an efficient way, so shelves were empty a lot of the time. Ultimately, they failed to accurately access the market, so they didn't meet Canadian expectations and went bankrupt. See, that is fascinating. Like, what? Oh, not that I live for it, because like I think all Canadians deserve Targets, okay? That's my Miss America answer. But that's just like fascinating. And also, I don't understand why Target would do that. Like, if people love Target in America, just make the American version in Canada. You know, it's like Epcot. It's like, oh my God, I'm in Europe and Japan and all of these places. But meanwhile, you just have swamp ass in Orlando, Florida. Do that, babe. Anyways, that is the end of our show. Like I said, I'm doing an after show on patreon.com/Chris Clemens. So come and kick it. And yeah, be sure to subscribe to Unhinged with Chris Clemens wherever you get your podcasts. Video episodes are on youtube.com/@unhinged. Be sure to rate and review, guys. It helps us out so much, and it makes me so happy to see what you guys have to say and all those 5 stars. So get into it. Definitely think I just pulled my neck wobbling my head like that. So please just fucking rate and review, please. I beg of thee. Thee has become a real solid word for me these days. Anyways, Chris and the episode. Thank you. See you on Patreon.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.